I have no idea where even to begin. I'm overwhelmed, heartbroken, angry, sick to my stomach for a week, but mostly disappointed. Disappointed that innocent people and all of you had to pay the price for the atrocities of my brother priests. For that, I am sorry. And I am praying for you. And I'm also still trying to figure out how and why this happened. It is all right to be angry, to be hurt, sad, or whatever other emotions you are facing. I know I've done my own share of shouting and having it out with the Lord. But what we should not do, we cannot do, is to give up on our faith or on the church. The words from Ezekiel ring sharp and true. I swear I am coming against these shepherds. I will claim my sheep from them and put a stop to their shepherding my sheep so that they may no longer pasture themselves. I will save my sheep so that they may no longer be food for their mouths. God has heard the cry of his people and revealed the evil that has long been hidden. Those brave men and women who came forward have been led away from the wolves, these wicked shepherds, and they can begin to heal. They can begin to heal, and we can help them. Only by keeping our focus on Christ, the good shepherd, and the one who never fails us, can we find the healing and the solutions that we all want and that we all desire. He is the center, the object, and the goal of our faith, and I am confident that our faith in him can actually grow if our gaze is forever fixed upon him. But to do this, we must pray, then act in his name for the good of our church. Demand holiness. Demand holiness from bishops, from priests, from me, your pastor, and from one another. In Christ, though, we have all that we need. For example, I am reminded of an event from the life of one of my favorite saints, Thomas Aquinas. At one point, he was locked away, and bit by bit, every worldly comfort was taken away from him. But he noticed that as each worldly thing was taken away, the Lord's presence with him grew exponentially. The same, I think, can be said of us as we watch in horror as our worldly possession of trust in the hierarchy of the church has been yanked out from under us. As the world falls away, we cling more and more completely to God. And that is a thing of beauty, as that is our endeavor for holiness radically lived out by each one of us. By and large, too, though, what I am seeing through various media outlets in response to this horrific scandal is a call to action. To be honest, I could not be prouder of this call to action. I am proud of those faithful Catholics, laymen and women across our nation, who love the Lord and the church and are stepping up to remove this cancer from the church. Indeed, we should seek justice, but we first need to be able to forgive, because otherwise our pursuit of justice can too easily become a quest for vengeance. However, in order to forgive, we have to keep focused on Christ, who alone can give us the grace to forgive. Now it's important that we forgive these men, not for their sake, but for ours. Forgiving them, doing so, keeps our heart attuned to God's love and allows us to still work and act for the good of both victims and perpetrators. But what good, though, could come from all this? That's a fair question, a good one, and a necessary one. Lately, I've been praying on Romans 8:28. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. In my own attempt to ask the Lord what the good is in all of this. But all I've been met with in prayer for the time being is silence. A silence which still leaves my head spinning. But that's all right. As we, do not have to know at this time what God's plan is for all this. Knowing that God has a plan for this is enough. He will show us his plan in good time and the good that will come from this pruning of the vine that is God's holy church. In the past, events similar to this in church history have always brought renewal and reforms to the church, and it has been in those times that some of our greatest saints have come forth. Catherine of Siena, Bernard of Clairvaux, Teresa of Avila, Francis of Assisi, and many, many more. And now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to step forward and be the saints that the church needs us to be. Pray. Pray for and act toward and demand holiness. Anything less is not from God. Pray for the church as we move forward, that the light of Christ may shine on the evils that have been hidden for too long. Pray for the church as God does for the church what her shepherds failed to do, shepherd her people. Then act, but know that we are not alone. We have support. Get involved some way, somehow, and help the church, her priests, her bishops, and one another to strive for holiness. Anything less, and the devil wins. That sounds rough, but St. Paul writes, and I find great comfort in St. Paul's writings, especially during hard times in my own life, these words in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast, with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's great comfort in that letter from St. Paul, as he wrote these words during a time when he too watched the church face persecution. These words then should remind us that there is hope still in the storm. Christ is the head of the church, the Spirit, the beating heart, and the Father, her inspiration. Grace is the blood that flows through the veins of the church, and it is this grace that you must trust in as you and I work to heal these grave wounds. Today, then, as we celebrate the Queenship of Mary, we find hope and inspiration as we heal these wounds and tend the wounds of Mother Church. She needs you, me, us, now more than ever, to refocus our hearts, our prayers, and our actions on Christ, in order to remind us that Christ is the center of the church and Christ has a plan. That is, after all, the glory that Mary reveals to us this day as we celebrate her coronation as Queen of Heaven and Earth. Late the hour might seem, but like the vineyard owner who calls workers to his vineyard at all hours, so too does God call each of us at different eras in the church. This is our time. It's our time to step forward and to heal the church, to call her back to her fundamental identity, the bride of Christ, and the vessel by which Christ is made known to the world. He is at the center of the church. We cannot and we will not forget that.